Hear the word of God as it is written in the Apostle Paul's letter to Titus, chapter 3, reading verses 1 to 11. This can be found on page 918 of the Pew Bibles. Paul advises Titus what to do with people who cause division from the true word of God. Titus 3, reading from verse 1. Remind the believers to submit to the government and its officers. They should be obedient, always ready to do what is good. They must not slander anyone and must avoid quarrelling. Instead, they should be gentle and show true humility to everyone. Once we too were foolish and disobedient. We were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. But when God our Saviour revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ our Saviour. Because of his grace, he declared us righteous and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to insist on these teachings so that all who trust in God will devote themselves to doing good. These teachings are good and beneficial for everyone. Do not get involved in foolish discussions about spiritual pedigrees or in quarrels and fights about obedience to Jewish laws. These things are useless and a waste of time. If people are causing divisions amongst you, give a first and second warning. After that, have nothing more to do with them. For people like that have turned away from the truth, and their own sins condemn them. Here ends the first reading. Turn to the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 28, reading verses 18 to 20. This can be found on page 760 of the Pew Bibles. Jesus commissions his disciples before he ascends to heaven and leaves them with an encouraging promise, a promise that gives us confidence today. Matthew 28, reading from verse 18. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. To God be the glory and the praise in the reading of his word. Amen.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. I wonder, have you ever heard of a guy called Nostradamus? He lived in the 16th century and is famous for his prophetic predictions. On his deathbed, he is reported to have made one final prophecy. He said, tomorrow at sunrise, I shall no longer be here. He was dead right. For he died during the night. Some famous last words can be humorous, like those of Johnny Ace, a rhythm and blues singer, who died in 1954. While playing with a revolver during a break in his concert. His last words were, I'll show you that it won't shoot. This was closely followed by a very loud bang. When murderer James W. Rogers was put in front of a firing squad in Utah, he was asked for any final words. He replied, bring me a bulletproof vest. He never received his final wish. And neither did Elizabeth I, Queen of England, lying on her deathbed in 1603. the most powerful person, man or woman alive at that time, whose last words were, "All my possessions for a moment of time." She would have willingly given all her empire for just a moment of more time. Wilson Misner was a successful playwright, best known for the line, "Be nice to people on the way up, because you'll meet the same people on the way down." When Misner was on his deathbed, a priest said, "I'm sure you'll want to talk to me." Misner told the priest, "Why should I talk to you? I've just been talking to your boss." Some people think that the final words of Jesus were, "Father, into thy hands I commit my soul," or "It is finished," or my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" But those are not the final words of Jesus. Yes, those were the last words before he died on the cross in different versions of the gospel, but not the last words that he spoke on the earth, because he rose from the grave after the cross. I love the final words that he did speak, as recorded in Matthew 28. Words spoken to his disciples before he ascends to heaven. He says, "Be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." It happened in Palestine, in Galilee, on a hill 2,000 odd years ago. It was witnessed by at least 11 men that we know of. They were fishermen, farmers, tax collectors. Some were learned, others unlettered. The only thing they had in common was that they had each been chosen by Jesus Christ to be his disciples. And he had told them to meet them there where they now stood. Now, if you're familiar with your Bible, you will know that the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples are called the Great Commission. And they are the foundational blueprint for the movement that his followers established after he was gone. These words are important to us today. Important for three reasons. First, these words are important because they are the last words of Jesus. And last words are always important. When a loved one dies, one of our questions is often, did he or she have any last words? And we all realize that the last words that people speak may represent that which is closest to their heart. So these words are important because they're the last words of Jesus Christ recorded in Matthew's gospel. Second, these words are important because they explain what the followers of Jesus Christ are to do in the long period between his first coming and his second coming. And third, these words are important because they apply without exception to all Christians at all times, in all places, in every possible situation. The words of Jesus have a permanent and universal validity for you and for me. That's why they were given, and that's why they were recorded. In these three verses, there are three great things: a great claim, a great commission, and a great promise. The great claim was made by Jesus when he said, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth." It means that Jesus Christ has all the authority that God has. In heaven, he has authority over the angels, the cherubim, the seraphim, and all the other angelic creatures. In heaven, he has all authority there is to have, and he has all authority on earth as well. He has authority over people and nations. He has authority over the things that people do and the empires that they build. He has all the authority and power that can be had on earth. And he even has all the authority under the earth, over Satan, and over all the forces of darkness. Now you may ask, didn't Jesus already have this authority before he was raised from the dead? Especially if you remember the two times he said, your sins are forgiven. And you know that only God can forgive sins. So we know that even when Jesus was on the earth, he had tremendous authority. But by virtue of his victorious resurrection, Jesus Christ now claims unlimited authority. By rising from the dead, his authority has no limits at all. Do you know what that means? It means, as the song says, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got kings and prime ministers in his hands. He's got rulers of great countries in his hands. He's got presidents and generals and mighty armies in his hands. Nothing can happen in this coming week outside of the authority of Jesus Christ. And it may look like things are out of control, that events are taking their own course and circumstance. It may look as if there's no higher hand or authority involved. And I don't know what's going to happen, but I know who's in control of the whole situation. His name is Jesus Christ. All authority on heaven and on earth is given to him. And that is precisely why he is able to give the commission to the church to go to the ends of the earth. It is because Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that he can send his followers to all the nations with the gospel. It is because of who he is and what he has accomplished that we can take his gospel to every nation and know that we will be protected as we do so. It is because he has all authority that he can send us. That is the great claim that Jesus makes. The great commission of Jesus is, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. Now in the original Greek, there is only one verb in the passage, and it is translated with two words in English, make disciples. If there are any English teachers amongst you, I can have a discussion about that passage later. In his famous last words, as he was about to bid farewell to them, Jesus said, in effect, gentlemen, after I am gone, I want you to do one thing and to do it above everything else. I want you to go and make disciples. Now, what does the word disciple mean? It's a word from the classroom. It means to be a learner. A disciple is someone who is a learner from someone else. A disciple is someone who is a pupil sitting at someone else's feet. To be a disciple is to be a follower of someone else. And to make disciples is to go out and convert somebody who is just a bystander into an active follower. And that, my friends, is what the Church of Jesus Christ is to be about. We are to make disciples of other men and women, turning them into followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we make a big mistake as a church if we believe that the world is to come to us. We make a big mistake if we think we can convert the world just by staying here and being good. And the third thing in this passage is the great promise. Take a look at your hand. Have you all got hands? Hold up your hand. I want you to touch your fingers and repeat the words of Jesus. I am with you. you always. I am with you always. It finishes with a thumbs up. Always. It's a reminder that we don't have to go up a mountain to meet Jesus. He meets us where we are. He meets us in our difficulty. We may be in the most sinful place imaginable, and Jesus meets us there. We may have lost our job or face financial hardship. Jesus meets us there. We may be in a relationship with unsolvable problems or face sickness among our friends and family members, and Jesus meets us there. We may be scared to death about tomorrow, and Jesus says to us, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I am with you for all the time, to the end of time, no matter what situation you find yourself in. I think that's an amazing promise. I'd like to finish with some words from a book called Whispering Messages. And I quote, you hear, you see, you feel, you know that I am with you, but many times you forget. You fear, you panic, you feel alone, and again you forget that I am with you. I have always been with you from the day you were born. You talked to me many times when you were a child, but you grew up and grew away from me. You are reading this note. Know that I brought you here to awaken you to me, to make you aware that I am with you, even when you don't feel or hear me. Remember how you always asked me when you were a child to protect you against the dark because you were afraid. You knew then that I was with you and that I would protect you. Give me your fears again. It is not just for children to give me their fears. I want to hear from the children who are adults now. I want to know your fears, your anxieties, and your doubts. How do you return to me, you ask? It's very easy. Just say hello to me every morning when you open your eyes. Say hello and welcome me into your day. For I know your fears, your anxieties, and your doubts. And as your fears, anxieties, and doubts rise during the day, I will quieten them for you. And continue this practice, calling on me every morning, and you will become calmer and more in tune with your inner self. Life will go on as usual for you until one day, someone or something pushes all your buttons, but you will handle each occurrence with ease. It is then, and only then, that you will realize that something is changing in your life. You will now have opened your heart, and you will clearly see that I am with you. I am always with you. Jesus. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, so much goes on in our world around us that we often forget you. There's pressures to get things done. There's family pressures who rely upon us. There's things in the news that distress us. So many things that tempt us away from you. And sometimes we think Oh, we'll cope with that. Yeah, we're strong enough to deal with that. We are from the west of Scotland. We don't need anybody's help. But Lord, so often we find if we just reach out to you and ask you for your help, recognize you in our lives and rely upon your strength rather than our own. For some reason, we just manage to cope much better with the problem. We manage to survive even when we think we never would. We're not saying that we won't face trouble. We just acknowledge that when we do, we have someone stronger, infinitely stronger, who can help us, support us, and get us through. So Lord, just by Jesus' mighty name, help us in our times of need to call out to you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.